Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please tell everybody who it is.
Well, he's a producer for Earwolf and host of the podcast What's With His Homies Talking About Weezer. And you know from the improv team Pony, it's Matt Apodaca.
Yay. What a treat. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. Hello. And I don't want to peel the curtain back too much. But you guys were not sure if that was going to work, the intro, and it worked perfectly, and I'm so happy that I got to witness it.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
I always assume it's going to be a massive failure. Well, Matt, we're talking about a comic book movie. I assume you're wearing a Star Wars shirt. You are a comic book movie fan?
Yeah, well, you caught me, Mark. I like the genre. I've seen all the Marvel movies. I guess I make it a point to go. There's not one that's come out within the last decade since they've been now very popular that I've missed. I didn't see Aquaman in the theater, and then I watched it on home release and realized I made a huge mistake.
You really did. I saw it, and this was the perfect viewing, which you could never replicate. I saw a bunch of friends, Universal City Walk. It was the day before we were all leaving to go home for Christmas. We met at Margaritaville beforehand, had a bunch of drink-out shows, and then just watched stupid Aquaman, and it was great.
It's the stupidest movie I've ever seen, and I love it with my whole heart. The man's wearing jeans in the beginning of the movie, and he's swimming through the damn ocean.
Boot cut jeans.
You gotta give it up.
Offensive.
Yes.
I just have to quickly point out, Mark, you forgot the most delicious detail of that, is that you sat in seat H20, H2O.
That's true. I did that on purpose.
You specifically went and ordered that ticket, because I was one of those friends with you at that viewing.
That's right.
That rules. I've never been prouder of someone for something. That's I feel like you're like my son.
Thank you. Ever since then, I always get that seat now because you know what? It's a good seat.
It's a good seat.
That's a party seat for sure.
And it's a little off center, so it's easy if you need to leave to use the bathroom. You're not crossing over a mile of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those aisles.
Not that we'll ever go to the IMAX theater anytime soon.
Oh dear God.
It's overrun with zombies at this point.
Yeah, Jesus. No way.
Do you read comics, or are you just, like, strictly with the fan? Like, are you a graphic novel fan?
I was sort of a graphic novel. I have some things on my shelf, but they're not necessarily, like, superhero-oriented. I feel like I read more... Yeah, you know what? I have blankets. I have... I'm forgetting a few of the other ones, but I have... This one, I'll just pull one off my shelf. This one's called Killing and Dying by Adrian Tomein, and he's just like a good...
He's very good.
He's just a good writer. Uh-huh. Great book. I mean, of course, I have Watchmen here. There's not a whole... And you know what? Now I'm looking at it. I mean, here's the sad truth is that I have very few books. I don't read much. But there wasn't... When DC relaunched as the New 52, yes. I got like very in. I was like, oh, great. I'll just jump in here.
Perfect.
And then I'll
That's
just do this forever.
Right.
And then it's just stopped because it was just like, I was reading The Walking Dead a lot when that was like a, I feel like I caught on late that people were starting to get disappointed. Like I fell off the show right. And then I was still reading the book and then I was like, you know what? I think I'm good
this
here.
This is relentless. This whole,
yeah, the whole thing is slowly falling apart. Like parts of the plane are just flying off this thing. But I like them. I love Star Wars. I love the movie that we're talking about. I read those, I guess, in the manga form that they came out in, and those were a real treat. I have those. I think in a box at my mom's.
I mean, that's exactly where Scott Pilgrim should be kept.
Exactly
in a box in your mom's house.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm almost 30 years old. Like, I don't need all that shit in my house.
Well, now that the cat's out of the bag and walking around your shoulders,
yeah.
John, we're talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. John, what's the deal with Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Oh, well, let me tell you the deal on Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It came out in 2010. It's an action comedy romance movie that was co-written, produced, and directed by Edgar Wright, and it's based on the graphic novel series Scott Pilgrim by Brian Lee O'Malley. It tells the story of Scott Pilgrim, a slacker musician who must win a competition to get a record deal and battle the seven evil exes of his newest girlfriend, Ramona Flowers. It stars Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Chris Evans, Brandon Routh, Mae Whitman, Anna Kendrick, Kieran Culkin, Allison Pill, Brie Larson, Aubrey Plaza, Ellen Wong, and Jason Schwartzman. The film, unfortunately, was a box office bomb, earning just under $48 million on a budget of $60 million, but it did receive positive reviews from critics who especially loved the film's visual style and humor, and it has eventually garnered a cult following. So that is the deal with Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
So, Matt, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Well, is it one of my favorite movies? It's a movie that I certainly, at a time, would say was my personality. Like, I would tell anyone that I had met that this was a good movie and that, oh, you haven't seen this movie, you should watch this movie. It's a movie that I've certainly forced people to watch with me. I've seen it far too many times. And, you know, I love Edgar Wright. I think a lot of his movies are just right up my alley. And this one, I mean, I guess just at the time when it came out, it was just exactly what I liked. All in one thing. It was movies, video games, comic books, just like, I mean, that cast.
That cast is insane.
Stacked.
That cast, they're all stars now. Mm-hmm.
Academy Award winners in that cast. And
yes,
nominees.
Yeah, she hadn't won yet. And I think she had, that's what they gave it to her for.
Retroactive.
Yeah. It was really for Scott Pilgrim, but they gave it to her for
Room.
Yeah,
everyone's going to say it was for Room. her incredible, riveting, moving, sad performance, yes. But it was for Envy Adams.
So Pilgrim. How many times have you say you've seen it?
I mean, I've certainly seen it more than 10 times. I've probably seen it upwards of 20. Like, I it's a movie that I will just put on. I've seen it on a, what I'll say... psychedelic adventure,
okay.
Which was not the way to watch it.
That seems
oddly
tough.
Enough, you would think those. It was. I was just sad because everybody was being so mean to each other.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of that, and which is surprising for Canada.
Yeah, you would think so. And I was like, oh, I thought they were all friends, but they're being so rude. And I think we turned it off and put something else on instead.
Put something light.
Only time I've ever stopped watching it.
Put on Solo, 120 Days of Sodom. Take the edge off.
Yeah, we put Room on.
So, John, what's your backstory? What's your history with Scott?
What's my history with Scott? I had not seen it before last night. It was a movie that I had heard about. I knew people really liked it. It had been in my Netflix queue for years on my watch list. It just sort of never made its way to the top. So I was very excited to finally be like, all right, you have to see this now. And then, of course, looking at that cast, I was like, all right. So last night was the first time that I ever saw it.
Wow. And what did you think,
Oh,
Joan?
Overall, I have to say, all right, so I overall wasn't too crazy about it. I'll say that. I think it's visually very fun and exciting, and there's a lot that I really did like about it. Story-wise, I felt very confused. Like, what the conceit is, they were clear about that, but I was like, that's so weird. Like, why? Why does this have to happen? Like, and they don't get to it until, like, very late. Also, they don't really introduce that conceit of like, oh, you have to battle all my exes until 36 minutes into the movie. I noticed that because I was like, oh, we're just getting to this now. So there was a lot of like storytelling issues I had with it. However, I in the Wikipedia work that I did for this episode,
thank you.
There was also a line that said that a lot of critics cite this as an example of transmedia, meaning not transgender media, but like media that like exists on different platforms. And so it felt to me, I wondered if, it's like, I'm not a big video game person. I had not read the comic books that this is based on. So I wonder if maybe, so there was so much that I was like, I think they just assume that we know a lot of stuff here.
You're not familiar with the Final Fantasy II theme song?
No, I was not. I was actually impressed that I was like, oh, that's the Seinfeld theme. That's how impressed.
Oh, boy.
That, for me, was impressive. So I wonder if it was one of those things where I was like, maybe this is not meant to just be a movie. I don't know. Like, what do you think, Matt? Like, what is your, do you know, like, the other media surrounding this movie? Like, is that something that you're?
I mean, there was a video game that was sort of like a side-scrolling, like, beat-em-up game that was, like, very fun that came out around the time of the movie, and it only really exists as that and in the comics.
Okay.
But I know that when Edgar Wright was making... I was almost about to call him Edgar, like, he was my friend.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Marty Scorsese over here.
Yeah, well, look, the way my friend Marty said it. And I feel like Edgar Wright was just like, yeah, this is exactly, I'm going to just dump my entire brain into this thing. And just like any opportunity for me to make a reference, I'm going to make a reference. I think there are references on the page also, like in the book. So like he was probably just like, oh, can we get that? And like, no, can we get something similar? Great. And then just stuffed references in this movie.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah. But how about you, Mark? What is your experience with Scott Pilgrim?
Well, I saw it in the theaters because I was a big, and still am, a huge like Edgar Wright fan. I think he's one of the best action directors out there right now.
Yeah.
I really liked it when it came out, and I hadn't seen it probably since then, up until last night, and I watched it. And like the tone is weird for the first 30 minutes. Like, what kind of movie? It's like a, you know, a gentle, soft rom-com, essentially.
Right.
And it's very weird that you're introduced to your hero who's dating a high schooler. You're like, wait, what? What is this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I be concerned? Why is nobody else more concerned? But then those action scenes, and the action is so great and fun. And then I like that it's just like, you know, I like treating a low stakes situation being treated really high stakes. And like, to me, all that stuff is really fun. And like, it's visually just so lush. And like, they don't make movies like this anymore. I feel like it's too like such heightened and stylized in a cartoon world that everything is like so grounded and like they're ironic that I feel like just being fun and colorful and visual and the dragons come out of the DJ sets and we don't have to say why. It's just because that's how these people live their life. They view their world through a pop culture lens. You know what I mean though?
Like, that's how they live their life. They have dragons.
Well, they view
in
their world
laptops.
Through like video games and like, you know, the media they consume. So that's how they experience the world.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun, I would say. I do think Scott Pilgrim is very problematic as a person, but I think the movie kind of addresses that as well. I think they would agree with that as well. So, Matt, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a very elaborate and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies, and so we're going to go through a bunch of categories, and at one point you will add a category and it could become canon. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So we're each, for the first round of categories, we're each going to give a score out of 100, then we take the average of that score. All right, so let me just go through our top five current standings right now. And their scores, this is their percentage. So number five with 72.74%, the gayest movie ever made. Labyrinth, number four with a 76.5%. Cats, number three with a 76.52%. Funny Girl, number two with a 78.59%. Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. And number one with a 79.51%, Grease 2. All right, Matt. So that's what you're up against.
Wow.
So this is where we're at.
This is where we're at.
Okay.
All right, so the first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I mean, homoerotic? Like, I would say, I mean, there are gay people in the movie, and there are gay men kissing in the
that's
movie.
Right. Yes.
But that's almost, and there's also, at one point, four men in a
that's
bed.
True.
That's true.
And three of them are implied to have been in a gay sexual relationship.
That's right.
Correct.
So, but is that erotic? You don't see anything? They're all wearing clothes?
I mean, it's not erotic.
It's not high erotic.
So, yeah,
there's definitely some points
sort of
for
thinking
it. And
about,
also, like, Kieran Culkin, like, his flirting has a sort of, like, a playful, I wouldn't say, like, erotic
that's
necessarily,
true.
But, like, again, it's, like, it's some points. It's not a high score, but, like, there is something going on.
It's a little arch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not unwelcome in the world of this movie, even though it's not high.
No. Exactly. Yeah, so I'd say it's probably, like, what, like, 3.5? Like, nobody, I don't think anybody was watching this and getting horny. Like,
Well, like, probably the, kind of the movie itself is oddly, like, sexless, too, in a way. You know what I mean? It's not a very,
correct.
Considering
yeah.
it's about young people in their 20s and relationships, it's almost very chaste.
Yeah, even the scenes, yeah, with, like, Scott and Ramona, you're just sort of like, I probably shouldn't be watching this.
So, what are you going to give it on a scale of 0 to 100?
Oh, it's 0 to 100?
Yes.
You know, I'd say on that level, I said 3.5, so I'll say
35.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty low for me. I'm actually going to go 15.
15?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like, they're all like, they do feel like children in a way.
yeah.
They're not, I mean, I like seeing Wallace steal Anna Kendrick's boyfriend. That was fun. But I can't say it's particularly horny, but I'm also going to give it a 35. Give it an average of 28.33.
Wow.
All right. Next category, actual gay characters.
Okay.
There's a few.
I counted three official gay characters.
There
were those three guys in that threesome.
And Roxy.
Oh, that's true.
Girlfriend.
That's
She's
right.
definitely good. There's at least four.
So there's four.
Yes.
Which is,
that's
we've
true.
Done, this is our 53rd movie. This is like maybe one of five that had actual gay people in it. And it's the straightest movie ever.
Yeah.
<Scott Pilgrim.
laughs> That's true.
I think that's about it, though, probably, those four. But four.
I think so.
Is,
I mean, you could also say, what's her name?
Four
is
good.
Is bisexual, at
She's
least.
She's definitely bisexual, Ramona.
And there are unnamed gay boys at Knives' school.
That's true. That's
right.
Right. And I'm sure there's some people in those clubs who are gay.
Gotta
yeah.
be.
There's got to be.
It's the world in Canada.
If we zoom out,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco exists.
And if that's true.
But that's pretty good, I think. I forgot how many gay people were in this movie rewatching it.
I mean, there's also just so many people in this movie. Like, this movie has so many characters in it that they just go through so quick that, yeah, if there were no gay characters, given the number of characters are in this movie, that would be exceptionally shocking.
But this had more gay people in it than Eurovision, the story of Fire Saga, which I watched over the weekend.
That's true.
And that's about Eurovision.
Watched. Yeah.
I watched that too over the weekend as well.
Musical numbers are fun.
Yeah, that's about it.
I didn't hate it
either. It was perfect for like a Saturday afternoon while I was doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I got teared up.
When? With elves?
Just, I think it's going to be, you're going to have a hard time putting on a Rachel McAdams movie where I don't start getting a little
weepy.
She
is always
She's just
great.
So charming
She's
and good.
Good. She, yeah, that movie did not deserve her.
No.
Does any movie?
Sure.
No, yeah, she shouldn't even be in any movie.
She's too good for movies. She should be writing books, I tell you.
So Matt won't have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I refuse to buy books.
So what would you give this on a 0 to 100 for actual gay characters?
Well, 4 does feel like... I was going to say, feels like a lot for like...
How dare
that's
you?
That's not what I mean.
Do you know what podcast like you are on?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to quantify what's a good number of gay people for a movie. I think if in a perfect world, everyone in the movie would
thank
be gay.
You,
sure. thank you, thank you.
But I'd say, what, 4 people? You said that comparatively, that's like
that's
pretty
good
for like
yeah.
most movies. I'll give it a 60.
I'll say, because like 2 of them are really like under 5s, but I'll still give it... A 40.
40. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 45. I'll give it an average of 48.33. That's more than Funny Girl. All right, next category. Camp factors. How campy would you say Scott Pilgrim versus the World is?
You know, it's tough because, like, what falls under the umbrella of camp? Camp is such a wide... net, you know,
sure.
And I do think there are some elements of the movie that I could say would be, but you know, somebody could obviously correct me and I would be wrong, and of course I would be wrong. I feel like the first fight
yes.
is camp to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That to me is camp.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, maybe not. Like, I don't know. I feel like any sort of effect,
yes.
anytime you see coins
yes.
pop out of a
right.
dead
absolutely.
Person. That's camp.
Well, it is a weird call in this movie because this movie is so stylish and so fun.
Yes.
And so there's in a way where it almost feels like it's campy or like it could so easily have fallen into camp. Though I
yeah.
don't, I think it's pretty successful at not like in avoiding being like a garish kind of camp.
Maybe because you're always invested.
But
in
I would
the
say it's more,
you know, the character's emotions feel true. So it's not maybe if they were acting too
mm-hmm.
big or too much, that would be maybe how it would wobble.
Right. Like, it didn't feel like, it didn't even feel like straight camp to me in the way that, like...
An Expendables like a, does.
Yes, an Expendables or, like, what's it, Delta Force. You know, something like that feels very, like...
Delta Force.
You know, a canon movie. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, that's very just, like,
yeah.
straight guys into camp.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely the first fight is camp, and I would think the portrayal of Lucas Lee from,
yes.
What's his name, Chris
Evans,
oh, yeah.
is camp. That's 100% camp, because he's playing a cheesy actor.
Right,
yeah.
And he's giving it everything he's got.
It's
That's
all
camp.
Eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, eyebrows
and, chin beard.
And like, and no. chin beard and some of this.
Yes.
Chris Evans is good. There,
he's very talented.
Oh, great.
Wow.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Second best Chris, though.
Chris Pine, number one.
Chris Pine's
Chris
the best
Pine.
Chris.
Saw him coming out of Skylight Books.
Wow.
That was
all
moment.
Twitter was
I
talking
felt
about
vindicated.
Today.
Oh.
I didn't personally. It was a picture going around.
Oh, gotcha.
I've had a longstanding belief that he's the best Chris, and today I feel vindicated.
Well, this will be crushing news for Chris Cooper.
Oh, no.
Who's our next guest, Max.
No. Oh, no.
So what would you give this on a 0 to 100 for camp?
0 to 100 for camp. I'm going to say this is 40. It's not the campiest movie because a lot of it is pretty, like played pretty straight.
Yes.
Like, you know?
Yeah, 40. I'm going to go 30.
30. I got a list of campy things.
Let's hear it.
That I noticed. Okay, awkwardness being a personality, using split screen, a surly record store clerk, a dream sequence, video game continue screens, another movie where an exhausted woman has to fix a man-child, anime-inspired fight scenes, an animated sequence, appropriating the Seinfeld theme, a laugh track, fake movies within movies, vegan powers, vegan police, someone disappearing in a puff of smoke,
oh.
orgasming to death, and treating something low stakes as very high stakes. So I'm going to give it a 55 in camp. I think
okay.
it's pretty campy.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good list.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about the vegan police.
I like those vegan police. Thomas
sure.
Jane.
Great, great bit. Mm. Great, great, great.
All right, next category. Over-the-top wardrobe.
Hmm.
I mean, it's all racing stripes and ringer tees. It's all very,
yeah.
like, thrift store.
Yeah. I feel like nobody is dressed weird save for a few of the evil exes. Like,
yeah, and even
right.
they
Whitman
don't go quite
sort of
into,
like, an ensemble.
Like, they don't like venture into like Flash Gordon territory.
I liked Clash of Demons Head look, the white and black.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, that unfortunately is a band that I would probably like really like.
Why is that unfortunate?
The music in this movie, yeah, the music is good.
I don't know. I just not a good barometer. My barometer of my taste, just so you know, I have no books and my favorite band's Weezer. Okay, I'm wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. I'm not. This is not a man of culture.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. but the I do think like the nothing there isn't really anything over the top with these looks. I guess kind of like Knives Chow at the end when she gets the extra long scarf.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing quite over the top, really. It's also
I will make an argument for a few points for just I did like the fact that even though I was like a man just punched a woman, but like the fact that like he punched the highlights out of her hair, I thought that was
very
pretty
funny.
There's something wardrobe about
that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know.
That's wardrobe.
Maybe that's for the wig category coming up later, but, you know.
Thank you.
A lot of bright hair.
Yes.
A lot of bright hair.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing particularly, I don't think, over the top.
Like, a lot of stuff could be worn on the street, and you wouldn't be like, what?
Absolutely. I even had, not in Ringer Team form, but that there's the 8-bit skull shirt mm-hmm. Scott Pilgrim wears. I had that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But just an all-black style, not in Ringer. I used to go to comic book conventions and just buy T-shirts that were affiliated with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They weren't attached to a property. Listen, I've lived.
Do they? Were they priced differently because of that?
No, just a design you didn't see anywhere else. You couldn't see that. You couldn't get that at Old Navy.
That's true.
Yeah, instead of walking around like with the Flash's logo on the front of your shirt,
exactly.
Get a grip.
So, what would you give this for over the top wardrobe?
I mean, is it crass to give it a zero? The clothes were plain.
I think you can give it a few points. You can
clothes.
Give it a few points for some of the exes. I think you definitely can give it some points.
And
okay,
the demon,
say,
those demon hipster girls.
Oh, that was mm-hmm. that's good wardrobe for sure. I'll say I'll give it a 23.
23. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I'll give it a 33, actually.
33. I'm going to split the difference. Give it a 27. Give it an average of 27.67. Ooh, that's 5 points higher than Armageddon. Pretty good.
I just want to point out that I don't think you actually split the difference.
Ish. Excuse me.
That's all right. I just wanted that to be noted.
Thank you.
That's all.
I'm the first person to say something factually incorrect on a podcast. All right.
Your aunt is accepted. We accept it.
Okay, thank you. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole lookbook of ideas? I do think, though, they do a good job, like, you could, like, you. I think it shows the comic book origins that each X has, like, a distinct look. Like, everybody has, like, a color-blocked kind
yes.
of look. And I think that, like, you could do, like, you could get 12 looks out of this, you know? And if, like, you are a super fan of the movie, I think it's very easy to, like, oh, that's, you know, that's referencing Matthew Patel.
Yeah.
That's whatever Gideon's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone has a look.
I agree. I think the only way I would ding it on that is that I get the impression that their looks are already inspired by something else. So it's like someone, like a drag queen being inspired by another drag queen's look. It's like a little bit less, if you know what I'm saying?
What are you saying? What are you
like if it, instead of being like, it seems like all the looks in the movie, the specific looks you're talking about, are inspired by something else or like a reference to like another Street Fighter character or another this kind of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the risk you would have is in doing a look like that, would someone else think it was specifically Scott Pilgrim?
Look, it would be shocking if a drag queen had a Scott Pilgrim night. But,
but you never know. In Canada,
you never know.
I think it could do well.
Sure.
I'm trying to reverse engineer what a, like, drag name based on Scott Pilgrim would be, and I'm having the hardest time.
Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim.
That came a little too quickly for you, Mark. You did not miss a beat, and you went directly to scat.
A to C thinking.
That was great. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how it took me so long.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you could do a drive. I mean, it wouldn't be the most. Although Evie in Clash of Demonhead, like Brie Larson looks great in this.
I was going to say, that'd be like the only look that like would translate well.
Her wig's fun.
What's her name's wig?
Ramona Flowers.
Like that's, Ramona Flowers' wig, I would be like, oh, that's, you know what I mean? Like,
those
that's definitely
two
like
strands
a reference
in the
I could
front
like,
always remind me of the mm-hmm. girl in Green Book, like the white supremacist. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody seen Green Book?
No.
Not Green Book, Green Room. Green Room, Green Room.
Okay.
Oh.
Very different movie.
Yeah,
it's like a white supremacist haircut. But I don't think it is in the movie. It's just those two.
No.
With, you know, anyways. So I just associate it with Green Room. But that's on me. So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration, man?
I mean, yeah, it's tough because, yeah, the only one that I could see really popping on the runway would be probably Envy. So I'll say, I'll give this a 30.
30.
I'm going to give it an 18.
18. Wow. I'm going to give it higher than you guys. Because I think there's just the fact that there's distinct looks with it, and you would know if you saw a color palette who that character is. To me, that ranks it higher. So I'm going to give it 47.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be proven wrong. If there's a Scott Pilgrim drag persona out there, please let us know.
I can see someone doing a Ramona Flowers, like the roller skating.
Definitely. Sure.
You know? All right, so next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, Matt, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Well, it's tough because I was watching this, and I guess I was watching this now with my Matt Apodaca 2020 eyes. You know, when this movie came out, I was like,
sure.
What? It came out 10 years ago,
yes.
Right? I was 19. Mm-hmm. I was just out of high school and college. I was like, oh, this is like exactly like my whole thing. This is like my sense of humor.
Sure.
There's frankly a lot of stuff in this movie that has aged very poorly. I clocked one use of the R word,
yes.
And then just a lot of mm-hmm. like, not necessarily like, I mean, I don't know. This is, yeah, I was interested to talk to you guys about this because I was like, it's a lot. I felt like a lot of the jokes that were like gay jokes, sort of like we're at least gay bashing adjacent, and I wasn't sure like exactly
sure.
Like I was sort of like, I don't know if I like I would have picked something else. I was like, I don't know if they're gonna be mad.
Is it too late to pick
this.
That Eurovision movie?
Yeah, I was like, can we please talk about that and how Lion of Love is the song of the summer?
It didn't strike me as like particularly homophobic or anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. The only thing I thought was weird, and I didn't think it was like homophobic, was when he was like, "I lesbian you."
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? But again, it didn't feel to me like, oh, he's being like, you know, homophobic or, you know, bad to lesbians or, you know, misogynistic even, so much as I just thought it seemed like a lame joke.
Yeah.
And to me, like, what I found more offensive was just the fact that, like, his character is sort of doing nothing. And all these other people around him are just like, oh, like, why is every woman obsessed with him? Why is it, you know what I mean? Like, there was just so much that I was like,
yeah,
that was the thing that I felt like has aged especially poorly.
Right,
even
right,
though
right,
like,
right.
There's been so much art that
sure.
is that. But I didn't think anything about it was like, there was very little about it that I thought was problematic.
Sure.
And like, you might have to do a
sure.
title card before you this movie now.
But Wallace,
yeah.
And Wallace the gay...
It's a relic of its time.
Yeah.
And Wallace is the gay best friend by Kieran, his gay roommate. It's very obviously, like, gay best friend is the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not really developed
sure.
much beyond. I like that he's horny and, like, snags guys left and right. It's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. That is a cool...
I agree.
I guess I'm thinking...
But also, like... In the argument of that, though, I don't think any of the characters are that well developed. Like, Anna Kendrick is just, like, the shrill sister. You know what I mean? Like, so many of the characters are just, like, an adjective and then their, like, title.
Yes.
You know what
right.
I mean? So it's, like, gay best friend, shrill sister. You know what I mean? Like, obsessed ex. Like, it. That's what a lot of the characters in this movie are. So I don't think it's necessarily, like, homophobic or misogynistic
right.
so much as, like, it doesn't get deeper than that for anyone.
I guess then my answer to this question is I'm sort of weighing it against... the argument that I know I would have with my brother who has not seen this movie and who is gay, and if I could be like, just watch it, and he would put up the biggest fight, no. So I would say absolutely not. I would not recommend this movie. I would not go out of my way to recommend this movie to a gay person.
But do you think your brother would like it?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
okay.
he would hate this thing, but not for any particular reason. He would just be like, why are you making me watch this is a waste of my life.
He likes a forks over knives documentary kind of thing. Is that more his mm-hmm. speed?
Yeah
he preferred that. He saw the acid fat, like that kind of stuff.
Sure. Every Netflix food documentary.
Yeah.
So
not Knives Chow.
No. So if you had to give that a number on 0 to 100, what would it be?
You know, I guess I would try. So I would say,
do you like anime? You know,
like. Yeah, like, and then he'd just be like, Matt, no, you know I don't. I guess it would be fun to see how annoyed he would get with me. I'll say 25.
25.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing about it that I feel like, oh, you should see this. But I also feel like it is stylish. There is stuff that's fun about it. If you were a big comic book or like any of those video games kind of nerd, then I could be like, oh, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. I'm going to give it 15.
15, same score you gave, Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is more or less for gay people and more for like fans of anime or fans of, if you love really well-shot action, because like, you know, something about Edgar Wright, he does great. Watch The World's End, some of the most fun action scenes you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Better than Baby Driver, even.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I'll give it a 20. Give it an average of 20. I split the difference there, John.
You sure did.
All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Hmm.
I would say not very. The only thing I noticed was like Brandon Routh was shot really well in his pants.
He was, but he I also think great. This yeah. movie made Chris Evans look unfuckable, which I think is pretty hard.
Excuse me?
Excuse me. It's very difficult.
Oh,
it's very difficult to do.
I was going
to
say that.
But it did do that. It made me feel like, I was like, oh, Chris Evans, all right. I got a little something to look at. And then when he appeared, I was like, oh.
Well, it's like no one is really treated very like salaciously, really. No one's like shot for
correct.
Maximum horniness. You're not in Michael mm-hmm. Bay territory here.
Michael Gay. No.
Michael Gay.
Thank you.
There you go.
There's a drag king.
There's your drag name.
This big spectacle director character.
Oh.
More explosions.
Of color.
Oh, man.
A fantasy, an illusion.
If only, like, Funny or Die were operating right now, we could be making $50.
Oh.
Dare to dream. yeah, so what would you give it for male gaze?
I mean,
the fact that there's barely shirtless scene, right? Like, Michael Cera's, like, very briefly has his shirt off.
Yeah.
It's Michael Cera.
But it's Michael Cera.
But they do sort of, to your point, they do sort of really, like, that whole camera sees Brandon Routh. You're getting all of Brandon Routh in that, in his scenes.
Yeah, Brandon Routh looks great.
Yeah, and he then does. I feel like you get a lot of close-ups of just his face, too.
Yes.
So, I mean, just because then you have to then notice his angular chin, I'll say like a 10.
A 10 for Brandon Routh's chin.
Yeah. For chin alone.
Chin alone.
I'll give it a 12.
12. Yeah, I'll give it a 14.
Wow. Increments of 12.
Increments of 2. We did it. Okay. Edgar Wright is straight. All right. You might make up some points here, Matt.
Okay.
Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
This has got a bunch of them in this, yeah.
Every X has an entrance
has
with
a big
pizzazz.
Entrance, yeah.
That's
Ramona
huge.
Flowers on the roller skates mm-hmm. in The Dream.
Even when Michael Cera walks in and the Seinfeld theme is playing.
I was just about to say. Yeah,
there's
that's a huge entrance.
There.
There's exits with pizzazz, too. He jumps out of a window to avoid talking to knives.
right?
But that's not the category.
No, that's true. Sorry, I don't want to jump ahead. yeah, I mean, every X comes in and it's like a huge to do.
It's a big moment. The movie literally mm-hmm. stops to watch this new. There's something new happening.
Right.
Everyone stops. They're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's even something to like the opening when there was like a little title card of like their name and their age and like a little fact about them. There's something sort of like
a little factoid
stylistic about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little pop up video.
You know, John, I was watching one. I have this on Blu-ray, if you can imagine.
I can imagine.
And I was watching one of the behind-the-scenes things, and they consider this a musical, but instead of when the emotions overwhelm them, everyone starts fighting instead of singing.
I've read that.
And you disagree not quite, wholeheartedly.
It's a poorly structured musical if it is a musical.
Well, join the
it
club.
It takes too long to get to the first fight sequence.
There's no overture.
Yeah.
Should have opened with a fight.
Yeah, you got to establish this is the world we're in. We're going to see these big, crazy fights. People
so
are
if they
sing
started
sometimes.
A big fight sing, you're
just
like,
relax.
Well, we needed a fight 30 minutes ago. Yes, I'm blown away by this one, but where was the one 30 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. I'm leaving at intermission.
What do you mean there's no intermission?
What is this, art? The play? So, Matt, what would you give this for entrances with pizzazz?
Entrances alone, I'm going to give this, I feel like I got to give this like a 90.
90? 90.
90. I'm going 90.
Yeah, they're pretty big on the entrances. I'm going to go 80.
80, just because you don't like it that much. I'm also going to give it a 90. I do think that the more we do this in this category especially, I do think the mark of a good director is entrances with pizzazz. And Edgar Wright's a good director.
Just like establishing the character right away.
Yeah just making smart. A moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category, dramatic lighting. I think there's tons of dramatic
there's
lighting.
There's a ton of dramatic lighting. Yeah. Because in addition to the fight sequences, there's also like the band sequences
concerts.
Too. So there's like a lot mm-hmm. of different worlds where the lighting is dramatic.
And none of it's subtle. You like notice all of it.
No.
Yeah.
It's very like, I mean, dare I say, dramatic.
I think that's fair.
Wow.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm a film aficionado. Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, those especially those concert sequences, those are some of my favorite scenes in the movie. Well, one, just because I love the music, so anytime I get to hear one of the songs, I'm excited. But just, the lighting in some of these fights is just so cool because you just see so many different visuals. I'll give this, I'm going to give it an 80. I'm going to give it
80.
Another high one.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 92. I think it's pretty much up there. Yeah.
There's also the scene, and it's like very dramatic, where Ramona gets hit with the spotlight and like everyone turns and looks at her,
Jade
her on the spot. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the most dramatic lighting.
She gives a little monologue. Yeah.
I'll give it a 91.
Wow.
Given an 87.67. That's higher than 83.33. So eat shit, cats.
Oh, finally, someone's taking down cats.
Finally.
This podcast is brave enough to do it.
All right, next category, strident women.
Hmm.
There's quite a few.
I mean, I feel like this. There's not a soft woman in this movie. Like, everyone is sort of angry and sort of like at some point. Some even comically so.
Short Kim Pine, the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Alison Pill.
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
I mean, this is.
Yeah, I mean, she's made a career.
Anna Kendrick, too.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Mae Whitman. Brie Larson.
The little girl drummer.
They're all strident.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I never have thought of the movie in those terms before. I've never watched a movie and been like, wow, so many strident women in this movie. And now I guess I will.
Thank you. Put on your
lens. You're welcome.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
Quite a few. I'd have to say then my score for that would be, oof. I mean, since it's such a high number of them, I'll go 90.
90.
Yeah, I'm going to go 90 as well.
90. I will also go 90. But it's also like, I feel like they're strident, but yet we agree with them the whole time. Like, because everyone's mad
wrong.
At Scott Pilgrim. Like, yeah, you are like a right. toxic man child who's like being an mm-hmm. asshole. So they're strident for good. Given an average of 90. All right, next category, macabre. How macabre is Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
You know, I was thinking about this, not in these terms, I guess, but I was sort of thinking about how in this world, Scott Pilgrim fights these exes presumably to death. You never see them again,
right.
And they explode
into coins.
Yeah. And this is fine. So in my mind now, Scott Pilgrim is a murderer.
Sure.
Has murdered. He has cause because they were. He was given this task by, I guess, Gideon, and who he also kills. So I'd say it's quite macabre if you consider it that way. And I would say
and lots of henchmen too, and
henchmen.
Like Lucas's stunt team.
Yeah, sure. There's henchmen galore in this thing, and then you got the. I mean, there's also witchcraft if you consider fireballs and all sorts of other sorcery.
I definitely do.
Dragons, sure.
Dragons. I go as far to say this is, I mean, it's definitely a fantasy movie, but it's almost like a horror fantasy. I'd give this an 85 in terms of macabre.
Also, Scott Pilgrim does die.
He does,
and uses
then
his
he gets
extra
another
life.
Reincarnation is present in the film.
That's right.
Yeah, I would say all those things do happen, but they're played in a very sort of bright, cartoony, video gamey way. Like they don't, we don't really dig into them.
No one's acting as if they have died.
No, that's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give it. I'll give it a 40.
40. Yeah, to me, the most macabre things were the demon hipster chicks, who I loved.
Yes.
And also, it did seem like Lucas Lee died because of there was an explosion from a long shot. But no one really. It's like a video game rules. Like, they're defeated, and you get the coins, I feel. It's like, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to give it a 50 for macabre. Give it a 58.33. All right, next category, wigs.
Okay.
All right.
Now, here we go.
You've been waiting for this?
I've been waiting for wigs because, I mean, what are we talking here? Are we just talking wild hair?
I think hair that is clearly a wig, or like that's got to be. Like Kim's hair
or
is like Ramona's
yeah.
got to be a wig.
Uh-huh.
Envy, Todd.
I'd say, yeah. Yeah, Brandon Routh's.
Again, going
wig.
Back to the being punched the highlights out of that, that's wig work right there.
Yeah,
that's
you couldn't do that in real life. That's true.
Let's hope not.
Stay away from my highlights. Yeah,
I don't know if there's like any like iconic wigs.
No, there's not like a. Like
the
what's
closest
it?
Would just be Ramona. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I would say. Yeah.
Ramona, yeah.
Yeah, because you would want, that's like one you could replicate for like a Halloween or a convention or something. But everything else is just sort of kind of like normal looking hair, though you can tell when they were wigs, but they were just wigs to be normal hair.
Yes.
Right.
So I'd say there's some strong ones, but I'm going to give it a 35.
35.
Yeah, I really like that wig gag, so I'm also going to give it a 35.
35. You know what? I, too, will give it a 35. Give it an average of 35.
Yay.
That
you split the difference.
Joke.
I did split the difference. I split the check, and I split the difference. All right. Next category, quips. How quippy is Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I mean,
I think it's pretty quippy.
It's pretty quippy. Kieran Culkin's got a lot of good quips in there.
Every other line in this movie is a dang quip.
I do think the jokes are pretty funny in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If this movie was on a dating app, in the bio, it would say fluent in sarcasm.
No one would swipe on that.
No one would swipe on it, but that's what it would say.
Yeah. There's like, I'm a little bi furious, made me
great,
laugh.
Great line.
It's more of a pun than a quip, but okay.
That's pretty Amazon.ca. What's the website for that? Amazon.ca. Not a race, guys. You got a problem? Take it up with Liberace's ghosts. I'm a big fan. Why wouldn't you be? All our shows are secret shows. A
lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's some quips here.
Yeah.
Is it Adam's Family Values? No. Definitely not Adam's Family Values.
It is not that.
Mark's rolling. His eyes have rolled backwards, and he's just remembering these from his brain.
I've cataloged all the quips of every movie I've ever seen.
That's why he's so fast.
I steal.
I mean, I gotta. Yeah, there's so many, and there's a lot of good ones. You know, if AIM were still a thing, I certainly would put one in my. Away message, because why not?
Sure.
I'll say I'd give this, for quips, I'm going to give it a 78.
78.
Yeah, I think some of it is just rapid fire, less than quippy, but it is still pretty quippy. I'm going to give it a 65.
65. I'm going to give it a 69.
Oh, my
pretty
man.
That's
cool.
Right. Very cool of me. All right. Next category, vibrato.
So for this, we mean not just the literal vocal vibrato, but also anything that's sort of extra, anytime they take something and do more with it.
Okay.
That you
I mean,
like.
That's kind of the whole movie is taking.
This whole movie is vibrato.
Extra.
This movie is extra.
It's extra. You get the yeah. 8-bit version of the Universal logo.
Yeah, you get that. You get. Bill Hader.
Lucas Lee walking out to
narrating?
The Universal logo.
That's right.
The theme song.
It's a Universal
and also
picture.
Like all the words that are posted, you know, that pop up.
Yep.
And like there's a lot of vibrato in this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. I would say And
they are
vibrato?
Also actually singing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really Brie Larson singing. What about that, John?
Mm-hmm. Look, what about that?
She can do it all. And I think it's time. All. You know, I know she has an Oscar, but I think it's time we give her the respect she deserves.
Give her a book.
Give Brie Larson a book. I won't rest.
Would somebody hand her a book, please?
Someone, please. I bet you would be an entertaining read. If she wrote it herself, who wouldn't love that?
Yeah. Little slice of Brie. Absolutely. So what are you gonna give this for vibrato?
For vibrato, I'm gonna go ahead and give this I'll give this an 80.
80.
I'm gonna go higher because I think the editing, like, it was so, and I liked it. Like, I like stylistically, I know I sort of am a little not super into this movie, but I do think, like, the style of it was really fun. I really appreciated, like, all of, like, the editing for, like, the montages he did. Like, I loved all of that. I thought it was, like, really, like, clever, really thought out, really smart, really fun, very vibrato-y. So I'm actually gonna give it a 90.
90. Did you like the action scenes, John? Do you enjoy a fight scene, like a punching,
I do,
kicking?
But I think for me there was a lot. I wish things were just established more up top, because I spent so much of this movie being like, why is this happening? And, like, why is no one talking about how weird it is? You know what I mean? Like, there was so, and also, like,
you
the
just
first
gotta
fight.
Accept it, I think.
Well, eventually I had to do that, but I did have a long time feeling like I don't know something. I was just like, yeah. I'm not having fun.
Cool.
Yelling at your TV.
But yeah, like, I just questioned a lot of it, because also, like, the first fight sequence, I was like, I don't play a lot of fighter games, and he wasn't playing fighter games earlier, like, he was doing that Dance Revolution game. So I was like, okay, this isn't that, like, so I was confused a lot. But I did like it. Like, I thought the style, it was fun to watch. The style was fun.
Did you play video games as a kid? Like, did
not
you have
really.
The Atari 2600?
We had the Atari 2600, and that's it. We did not go any farther. Yeah, that's where it started and ended in my house.
I've had an Atari 2600 as, like, a five-year-old, and then I've had a video game system ever since.
Ever since, yeah. No, Atari 2600, I had a Wii, and right now I have a Switch, but the only games I've had on both of those is Mario Kart.
I mean, what more do you need after you have Mario Kart? Is there a better game than Mario Kart?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
It's the perfect game. For vibrato, I think this movie is all extra. I'm going to give it a 93.
Wow.
All right. Next category. You also might get some points here, Matt. Yeah. Footwork. I mean, there's tons of footwork.
There's a ton of footwork.
I mean, this is all this is, you know.
All the fight sequences, the Dance Dance Revolution game.
Bob Fosse's tap dancing in his grave.
Right. Roller skating. Skateboarding.
The roller skating, skateboarding.
Lots
every
of foot
single
stuff.
Fight scene.
Yeah, a lot of kicking. A lot of kicking. A lot of flying kicks, too.
A lot of spinning in the
air.
I
love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's great in a movie with fights where you can see more than one kind of kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you see one, you're just sort of like, yeah, okay, that's how I'm used to seeing kicking. Well, he's got a different kind? Great. Yeah, I think
so
a
you
lot
hate the karate kid. Just that one crane kick is all he does.
All he does is that one. And, you know, and then the movie just abruptly ends. I'm like,
it's
tell
over
me about
very quickly.
You know, I mean, not to derail it, but I only saw that movie as an adult, and I was like, I should have seen this as a kid. My whole life would be different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Made me more motivated. Again, for footwork, I'll give this a high score. I'll give this an 82. There's a lot of footwork going on.
82.
Yeah, I think this is a whole lot of footwork. I'm going to actually go 90.
90. I'm going to give it a 93.
Wow.
Yeah, giving it an average of 88.33. Oh, that's higher than Labyrinth, which only has an 87. Very good. Ooh, all right, we are into the wheel categories. These are guest categories that are neither canon nor bonus.
Okay.
All right,
so
going to
spin the wheel. We have an app that does this.
Wow.
An actual wheel, somebody asked me.
Flashback.
There's a lot of flashbacks in this.
Yeah.
There's a couple. Yeah, they're usually animated.
The animated one is a great use of it. Because, like, I don't know. I just think that's such a cool one. It's the art style of the comic. So that's just, like, a fun thing to
Brian
see.
Brian Lee O'Malley.
Tip of the hat. Right.
Yes. And, I mean, I think every movie that has a flashback should show it as a cartoon. Just give me something a little different. I don't care how
serious
the movie
clear.
Is. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be confused. Wait, when is this? Oh, it's the cartoon. It's before.
Yeah.
Oh. This is before we had actual skin.
Yeah. Gotcha.
When I was a child, I asked my mom, like, when did the world go from black and white to color? Like, I thought that's how the world was before.
Yeah.
It just evolved.
Mm-hmm. That was a dum-dum. I also thought people read with their eyes closed, because when you looked at them reading, you didn't see that their eyes were open. So I thought, how are they doing this?
Wow.
I'm a visual learner. So what would you give this for flashback, Matt?
For flashback, I mean, I love that flashback, and there's several different kinds of flashback in this movie. I'll give this a 75, because I don't think it pushes the flashback to its fullest potential.
Right. I think it's not super flashbacky, but those are kind of stylish. I'm going to give it a 50 for flashback, because I think it's stylish, but I don't think it's like super heavy dependent on it.
I think the fact that there are, like, sorry, we got fireworks going off. Welcome to Los Angeles. There's pretty distinct, so I'm going to give it a 60 for flashback. Giving it a 61.67. All right, wheel category number 2. Spin that wheel, John. Flashback brought to you by Ryan Meharry.
Wow.
Rye Smiles.
Brought to us by Connie Shin, I believe.
That's great.
No, that was brought to from Ben Schrader.
Ben Schrader, you're right. So how many, I mean, Kieran Culkin is pretty much all
Kieran Culkin has a bunch.
The man doesn't know how to smile otherwise.
No. Julie, I think that's Aubrey Plaza is pretty much all Rye Smiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
even like Jason Schwartzman, like he has sort of like
yes.
a,
oh,
you he know, invented
like
it.
A lot of.
Yes. See that Phantom Planet video?
Mm-hmm.
It's all Rye Smiles.
There's a lot of Rye Smiles in this movie.
The whole movie's kind of Rye. No, it's all, I guess there's like sort of a detached air to everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if like Envy does one. I could picture one on Envy, but I can't necessarily name a moment
right.
where she's like expressly smiling. She's always kind of pouting a little bit, like a rock star pout.
That's about all. There's a few, I would say. Is it 100? I don't think so.
No, I'd say it's maybe 45.
45.
I'm going to go a little higher because I think a lot of the characters sort of live with that. So I'm going to go 55.
55. I'll go 57. Why not? Given a 52.33.
All right.
All right. Wheel category number 3.
Mm-hmm. Wearing another's clothes.
Wearing another person's clothes.
Doesn't at one point Scott wear Kieran Culkin's like jacket or something?
Oh, maybe.
I think you're right.
I feel like there's
yeah.
like a line about that, like that's my jacket.
There you go.
So okay. one.
There's that one in that one shot. That one scene.
There's also all of the stunt doubles, they're wearing the clothes.
That's
of
true.
They're wearing
one.
Another person's clothes.
Nega Scott, but that's kind of just Nega Scott does have his own Nega clothes.
Yeah. It's sort of in the reverse, isn't it?
He shops just in the Nega section.
That was a Zelda reference, John. I had no idea.
I know. I've heard of that. Yeah.
I think that's about it, though. There's no one ever it. Really takes on another identity.
No disguises.
No disguises. No. It's got to be penalized for that.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I got this. This movie has almost everything, but no disguises.
Sorry. Sorry, Moonlight. Should have had a fake mustache.
For this was wearing someone else's clothes. I mean, look, this it's a 10. There's not anything
10.
Too notable. We couldn't really recall.
I'm going to say for the stunt doubles, I'm giving it a 25.
Wow.
25. I'm going to split the difference, do 17.
All right.
17.33. All right. Wheel category number 4. And then, Matt, it is your turn to add a category.
Wow. Okay.
And just so you know, wearing another person's clothes brought to you by Heather Ann Campbell.
Your oh, great.
Co-host from How Did This Get Played?
Hi, Heather.
Okay. Here we go. Dramatic smoking.
Dramatic smoking.
Oh.
Was there
is smoke in like explosions, but there's no characters because like it's recently most people don't smoke in movies anymore. Like, you can't really do it.
Right. Yeah. This must have been after, because I think, didn't it get you rated R if you're smoking in it?
Something like that.
Which is crazy, because you could look in any out the window and see someone smoking.
You're right, Mark. They should change it back. You should be able to smoke in any movie.
I think newscasters should be smoking now. What's the big deal? Like, everyone, let swearing happen on live TV. Who cares?
I've always thought that you should be allowed to say fuck on the news. You absolutely should be allowed.
It's fucking crazy out there.
Like, in this breaking news, Jesus Christ, this fucking thing. Wait, you'd be like, oh God, this must be pretty serious.
Right? You got to be level.
Like, they're really shooting from the hip.
Yeah. So, I mean, no smoking.
No.
I can't think of any.
But there is, like, explosions. There's,
Lucas Lee explodes. Mm-hmm.
Explodes.
You see dust when, you know, Scott goes through the wall, like, when he's pushed through the wall. Right. So there's at least debris.
Debris Larson. There's a drag.
Yes.
Another
drag
name for you.
Yes. Man, that would be a really good one.
That's a good one, actually. Write that down, John.
But it's been recorded.
I don't listen to this. I like post-its.
You have to put it on a flash drive and mail it to yourself. It's the only way.
Okay, fair enough.
So I guess, since there is a presence of smoke, but not necessarily anyone imbibing a cigarette or toking on a joint.
A marijuana cigarette?
A marijuana cigarette. None of that. No drug use, as far as I can tell, in the movie. So I'll give this a 13, because it's rated PG-13.
Fair enough.
I'm going to give it a little more for the explosion. I'm going to give it a 20.
I'm going to give it a 15. Not splitting the difference, giving an average of 16.
Wow.
All right, okay. Matt, the time has come for you to add a category, which could become canon, but in the meantime, will just be added to the wheel.
Okay. So I would like to... What I'd like to submit is sing-along factor.
Oh.
Okay.
So this movie has songs in it. They're not necessarily popular songs, but they're songs that, like, if you were a fan of the movie, would you want to sing along to these things? And that can go... I mean, I can think of a lot of movies with songs in them.
You can name one.
Marriage Story.
That's true.
It has the Sondheim, two Sondheim numbers in it.
All right, you proved me wrong. There are movies with songs in them.
So, sing-along factor. Would you, if words were on the screen, would you sing along?
Have you ever gone to a sing-along movie, like one where they show the words on the screen?
If I'm being honest with you, it sounds like an absolute nightmare. I would hate that. I would hate that more than anything, I think.
I went and saw Little Mermaid sing-along at the El Capitan, like, 10 years ago.
Really?
It was fun. Sure.
You know, and that was the last movie you saw in theaters, right?
That was the last movie. I thought, it's not going to get better than this.
And this is pre-pandemic. You sort of just like, I'm done.
I'm done. Mm-hmm. Movies have peaked.
You know, I caught some of Grease on TV. They had a sing-along on Grease the other day. And they edited Grease Lightning in very fun ways, just by completely omitting some phrases.
Oh, sure. Is there, like, problem? I've never seen Grease.
He at one point says the chicks will cream.
The chicks will cream for Grease Lightning.
Yeah, and he calls the car a pussy wagon. Wow.
So what would you give Scott Pilgrim for sing-along factor? You're not sing-along to Black Sheep?
Yeah, I love... Metric's a great band, and I think...
Metric's, I've seen them live at the Fox Theater in Pomona.
Oh, that's a great venue.
It is a great venue.
That's a wonderful venue. I've seen Dimitri Martin there.
Oh, wow. Did he have an easel?
He had an easel, and he had a guitar with a harmonica attachment.
Bring out the easel.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that's what the people were shouting during the encore. Easel. But, I mean, there are a few different songs, and I think some of Sex Bob-omb's songs would be songs that I would listen to. I had the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And they did record, like, you know, full versions of those songs. I think they're good. So if they put words up on the screen, I don't see why I wouldn't want to sing along in the privacy of my own home.
So what would you get that on a scale from 0 to 100?
I'd say maybe 60.
60.
I have to say, punk music is not, it's not usually a genre I listen to all that much.
What? Yet,
but I really love that.
You're wearing a Dead Kennedys t-shirt.
Is that what this is?
He just hates the president.
All of them. The only good president we've ever had have been the dead ones.
You listening, Congress?
We're all on a list now.
I really like the 10-second song competition that they had.
Oh,
I
thought
that was
fun.
Really funny. That could have gone on longer. Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a 40.
40, not a big metric fan. I think these songs are great. I'm going to give it a 65. I do like what John referred to as punk rock. all right, Matt, now we are into
Is that wrong? Is that something, how would you describe it?
It's like alt rock, I guess, kind of more. Oh, okay, punk. Okay. Am I wrong, Matt? I don't know. You've been to the Warped Tour.
I've been to the Warped Tour, and I would say, at least in the 10-second song competition, those were punk, if not punk adjacent.
That's true.
But, you know, yeah, metric is sort of more alt, I would say. But that's what's great about the movie is, and the sing-along factor is that it covers a wide variety of genres.
Much like Little Mermaid. You got yep. part of your
There's
world.
Calypso.
Yep, yeah. The girl. Something for everybody. All right, Matt. So now we're into the bonus round. So the movie's not going to be penalized for not scoring well, but it's all pure bonus. So instead of scoring 0 to 100, you're going to score 0 to 5%. Each of us will, then we take the average of that. So the first bonus category, makeover montage on a scale of 0 to 5%. Montage.
There's a bunch of montages, but there aren't any real makeover montages.
Well, there are makeovers.
There are makeovers. Knives, Diner, Hair is kind of a makeover montage.
Okay.
Ramona has different color hair at one point and then comes to a new scene, different color hair. I think it's red at first and then becomes blue. And then it stays blue, right? Or does it become green,
it's green
too?
At another point, oh, too. I think it's green at the end.
Yeah.
There's something very briefly where Scott gets dressed to confront Gideon in that final fight.
That's true. And he puts on a hat when he realizes his hair is too long.
That's right. But are those a montage?
Is that a montage?
No, it's not really. That's not even really a makeover, but he's about to go get a haircut. I'd say, so it's 0 to 5%?
Yeah.
3%.
Three.
I'll give it a 1.
1. Guys, guess what I'm doing? The difference? It's split. Giving it a 2.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right, next bonus category. Angry phone hang-ups.
Oh.
There's a bunch.
There's a bunch. Yes.
There's a bunch, and Anna Kendrick is always hanging up in an angry way. And also, when we see a movie that in the movie, we're watching a movie that Chris Evans is in, he goes into a phone booth and hangs up the phone with a gun.
Yes.
I mean, nothing can angrier.
Can you get angrier when hanging up a phone than using the butt of a gun?
No. Nope.
I do.
That's
wish...
how I call it Spectrum Wireless. I hang up with a gun.
I do wish they just made that entire movie. I would have loved to watch that movie.
A Lucas Lee movie?
Yeah, it'd be so fun.
That is pretty much the Fast and Furious.
It's part of the transmedia that they would want for this.
So what would you give this, Matt, for angry phone hangups?
For angry phone hangups, I'm going to give it a 4%.
4.
I will give it a 4 as well.
You know, I am also going to give it a 4.
Wow. Who are we, Jay-Z?
Nope. All right. Next category, titular theme song. I mean, there is a song called Scott Pilgrim on the soundtrack.
Yes.
By the band Plumtree. Oh, I don't know, but they're Canadian.
Okay. Also, I mean, they do play the Seinfeld theme song.
That's true.
So Ramona has her own song.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So what would you give? I think this is pretty high for titular. I mean,
this
is there
is
like,
getting high.
Is it over the opening credits? No.
No.
Is it over the
Can
end
credits?
Can
anyone sing the song, hum a little bit of Scott Pilgrim?
Oh, now we got
to
hum songs to score highly,
I'm just
John.
Saying.
This is a new wrinkle.
I was just asking. It was not.
Excuse me. I don't have Plumtree's discography at the tip of my tongue.
And you know, I mean, is it on the soundtrack because it was inspired by the graphic novel, not necessarily for the movie? I'm going to say it was starting to look high, but I'm going to give it a 2.5%.
2.5.
I'll give it a 3.
3. I'm going to give it a 4. I mean, there's a song called Scott Pilgrim on the soundtrack. What more does the movie need to do? God.
I guess for me, a little more.
Fair enough.
Twice as much more.
Yeah.
double what it did. All right. Next category might make up some points here. Fun fonts.
Oh.
I mean, this movie is all fun.
Yeah. Yeah. 5%. That's an easy 5% for me.
I think so.
Yeah, you got to go 5 on this one.
I mean, just the Ninja Revolution is like so. Mm-hmm. I think it's like
fun.
The Fruit Ninja font. Didn't?
Or
am I the only one who's
the
played
Fruit Ninja font?
That one. Is that what they're copping it for? I don't know. Either way, I like it.
It's a great font.
I'm going to go. This movie is all fun fonts. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it a 5. 5's across the board. This is the highest scoring in fun fonts.
Wow.
The next highest with a 4.67, Little Shop of Horrors.
Wow.
Okay. All right. You're
that's a title.
Happening.
Bloody words. Yeah. Bloody letters.
All right. Next category. Cheerworthy cameos.
I mean, are we going apeshit in the theater for Thomas Jane?
Who's Thomas Jane?
You never saw that one episode of Arrested Development where he plays a homeless person? I just want
or
my kids
the Punisher?
Back.
Sure, I did.
The Punisher, also The Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Or Hung, HBO's Hung.
You didn't watch Hung?
I did not watch Hung. It's on the list. It's actually right under Scott Pilgrim, so now I can watch it.
Make it bump it up.
Wow, you're about to become a Thomas Jane stan.
I did see Nico Case in a news. When someone's reading a newspaper, there's an ad for Nico Case, a great Canadian musician.
Oh, right. The author of the comic book was a bar patron in one scene.
Yeah.
Okay. He's also, someone mentions a Coke Zero, and I had to clap. That's my drink.
That's a good drink.
Several times. I was like, oh, is this one when Mark was like, I'm going to try that Coke Zero.
Maybe it was the first time. Now it's my drink of choice.
It's a great Coke.
It's a great Coke.
It's my favorite Coke now, too.
I think that's about it, though. I'm sure there's also just tons of, like, video game, like, Easter eggs, like the Zelda thing. You hear the Apple sound start up when they, like, kiss, and, you know.
Yeah. So we're clear, Coke Zero counts.
Sure.
Well, here's the thing. In a, typically, some of us are sticklers as to how many appearances a person or an item can make before, if it's more than one scene, it becomes more than a cameo.
Yeah,
sure.
So in that way, I think Coke Zero would not qualify because it does come back a lot.
Okay.
However, the idea of an inanimate object being a cameo is allowable.
Okay.
Or has been allowable in the past.
Also, you could score at 5, and what are we going to do?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Cancel the podcast.
I'm just trying to respect the rules and the integrity of the percentages.
Thank you. We have been running for a year now, so we have integrity.
I'm going to say 3%.
I'm going to have to go 1. There's
1.
As far as it seemed more referency than like cameos.
I don't know, but to me, like, oh, the Final Fantasy theme, like, that's fun. The Zelda thing, that's fun. Like, you know, this little, this pop culture property makes, like, quickly pops up. So to me, I'm going to give it a 4. All right.
So there's like an audio Wreck-It Ralph, sort of.
Absolutely. An oral Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. Oh, wouldn't you love an oral Wreck-It Ralph?
Oh, I've had one. You don't want them.
Let's just say he's going to wreck it. All right. Next category, pool trouble. I don't know. Is there any pool trouble?
There's no. Was there even any crowd surfing in any of the concerts? That you could maybe give it something.
Is there crowd surfing?
No.
I can't remember a single body of water in this thing, too. I'm telling
you what. It's dry. Toronto is landlocked, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he died, he was like in a
desert.
Very dry earth, a desert. Dry earth? What is that
called? Dry
earth.
Desert? That's what the desert is, dry earth.
Yeah, I mean, because there's no pool trouble, were they ever playing billiards at a point? I don't think so.
No.
It would have come up in a fight scene, I would think.
Yeah. With a fun little stick action.
The most you could say is dating
like a
pool.
Little smooth criminal.
Yeah. Dating pool. Oh,
you
when,
could.
Ramona's in the spotlight. She's in a pool of light and everyone's looking at her. Look, I'm not saying this is 5.
But I get it. I get it.
I'm going to say, I mean, I'll give it a 1, but I don't know why. Is it 0 allowed?
zero is allowed.
Okay, then I'm going to say 0.
0.
I will give it a 0 as well.
0. Fine, I will also give it a 0. There's not really any pool trouble. Okay, next character. Sassy best friend.
Well,
I mean Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin. Wallace is the sassiest.
Yeah, and what a revelation he was too in this thing. I mean, he'd been in things before, but I think this was my introduction to Kieran Culkin. I was just like, this guy's great, and now he's killing it on Succession. He's very good. 5%.
He's pretty much playing the same character, isn't he?
I guess so. I mean, here's the thing. I'm proud of him. I haven't seen a minute of Succession.
I saw the first 90 minutes. People say you just got to give it 3 episodes to get like, oh, but you people were complaining about the Irishman's running length. Eat shit.
The only reason I said that is because I watched this with my husband. He said he's basically playing the exact same role on Succession right now.
Is that character gay on Succession? I guess nobody knows.
I don't know.
Nobody knows. We'll never know.
I guess we won't know.
It's impossible to find out.
Yep. He at the very least has a bad attitude.
Surly. So what would you give this for sassy best friend?
I mean, 5, because and I'll include Anna Kendrick in there, too. She's got some sass. You know, I'm sure he's close with his sister, so I'll say 5%.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 as well.
I will also give it a 5. Giving it a 5, the highest we've ever given any. Well, it's tied with A Star Is Born for sassy best friend.
There you go.
Wow. All
right.
There you go.
Next category, a bold lip.
Mary Winstead definitely had, like, a bold lip. A bunch of times.
Brie Larson, did she have a bold lip?
I feel like she definitely had some sort of lipstick on, but did we catch it? Did we clock it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking Joker here.
Oh, we're not talking Joker. Are you kidding
me? Not yet.
None of us are in a loony bin.
No. I don't think there's too crazy bold lip. It's all pretty.
No,
the
it's
makeup
pretty
and
muted.
Like, well, it goes with the wardrobe. How it's all like, you know, literally from a thrift shop. So what would you? Are you Googling?
That's where they bought the makeup out of.
She has
Clash of Demon Head lead singer bold lip.
I typed in Brie Larson, Envy Adams, and she's not wearing really. She has like a nude lip.
Nude's the opposite of bold.
Yeah.
Very opposite of.
There's like nothing
well,
going on there.
Depends on the body.
That's true.
Yeah, not a whole lot to write home about in the lipstick department, unfortunately. At least in the screen that I got here.
So what would you give this for 0 to 5%?
I mean, I'll give it a 1 because there's at least presence of it, but there's not a whole lot to, like I said, write home about.
Yeah, I'll go 1 as well.
I will also go 1. We are not writing about the lips.
Mm-mm.
All right, next category, witches. Well, there's the demon hipster chicks.
Yes.
Demon hipster chicks. Even
also,
the fact that there's this weird curse that has been put on them, that has been put on this girl. There's something witchy about that.
Also, Todd's vegan powers are pretty witchy. Like, they're all, like, psychic, you know, and his eyes glows and he levitates. That's pretty witchy.
Mae Whitman
can
sort of
summon dragons.
Yeah.
There's also when Aubrey Plaza says, I forbid you from dating Ramona Flowers. Had a very casting the spell kind of energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of witchy, I would say.
Yeah. I'd at least say it exists in a magical world.
That's true. Reality.
Yeah. So I'll say 3%.
3.
I'm going to give it a 2.
2. I'm going to give it a 3. I mean, you got someone levitating with their eyes going white and doing telekinesis. That's pretty witchy for me. So I'm going to give it a 3. All right, next category. How Korean is it?
Well, I did some research, guys.
Okay.
And Jung-Yul Kim, who plays like the like henchman of Jason Schwartzman, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
The big guy, he is Korean.
Okay.
Well, and also the creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, is half Korean. The creator of Scott Pilgrim.
I did not know that one. There you go.
So
this is pretty Korean.
So it's not Korean.
It's not Korean. I'll say 2%.
2.
I'm going to say 3. I'm going to say 3.5.
I'm going to give it a 2. Give it a 2.5, a Korean. Hey, that's pretty good. Most movies aren't very Korean.
No.
All right, next category. Felt. How much felt is in the movie?
Not a puppet in sight.
No, not one. Although in that thrift store, when they go to a Goodwill.
That's true.
But there's not a lot of fell to this. It's mostly cotton and
polyester. Yeah, I feel like if there was more
much
felt,
more breathable fabrics. Yeah.
You know, off the rack.
I mean, I guess, yeah, you're right. I'm going to have to say 0% because if there was felt, we'd be talking about it, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
Sure. I'm going to actually give it 2 because I do think that there is some felt, and typically with this category, we try to be very generous. So while, yes, there's nothing that I really clocked, I think we were at a thrift store. They're wearing a lot of weird costumes. Someone's got to be wearing something felt at one of those clubs. So a 2.
One of those clubs.
Those clubs, that movie set.
Sure. I'm going to give it a 1 for felt. All right, next category, gay actors playing gay roles.
Okay, so I did some research here. So Kieran Culkin, not gay.
Right.
Ben Lewis, who plays the other Scott, who is the one of the boyfriends.
Yeah.
He is gay.
Okay.
And then, what is his name, Jartan Hewitt? I've tried to take a deep dive on that guy. Could not come up with
anything
definitive.
I'm sure you did, John.
I did find I was in the midst of watching a YouTube interview series he did with some guy where they're both in a tub.
Okay.
Him and some guy, they're both wearing pants. You can see that. So it's like not as edgy as it wants to pretend it is. And they're
I'm
just
blow people's minds when I come out with my bathtub talk show. They're not fucking ready for it.
That's edgy in Canada, I guess. But it didn't come up either way. And he's Canadian, so it's like hard to tell.
Sure, it's like Europeans.
Exactly. I was like, well, maybe just like the way he talks, I'll be like, he's probably, but you can't tell. So
there's at least one.
Yes, there is at least one.
All right, and we counted at least, so 1 out of 5.
Yeah, 1 out of 5. So I guess 1%.
I guess 1.
1. I think that we did the math on that.
It's a 1-to-1 ratio here.
All right, giving an average of 10.16. All right, next category, themes of mothers. I mean.
Wow.
No family exists in this movie, just his sister.
No.
Yeah.
He lives across the street from where he grew up, but he doesn't talk about his family, really, or his mom or anything.
This is not related, but weren't you so relieved that he didn't end up with Knives Chow? Because all the whole time, I'm like, Knives Chow, you could do so much better.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and just, you just don't want to go down that rabbit hole and, like, try to justify that as being, like, okay, either. I would say 10 years ago it was a different time, but not really. No, like, even then, you're still sort of like,
wrong.
This is, like, not good. But, yeah, no mother stuff. No mom stuff. I'd like to hear about what Scott talks about in therapy.
Sure.
Just because who knows what's going to come up there.
Well, he's stunted. He's still living across from his childhood home.
Well, yeah, he can't really leave the nest, can he, if the nest is right across the street. So I'll give it a 0 because I don't know what that story is.
Right.
Yeah. I also give it a 0.
I too will give it a 0. Not doing very well in themes of mother. All right. Next category, a feels song. Is there a song in Scott Pilgrim versus the World that puts you in your feels?
There was a song called Ramona on My Mind. I think, like, there was some sort of mopey ballad that was played at one point that I thought was just called Ramona on My Mind, or just Ramona. That's what it seemed to be.
I will say they do use one of my favorite Broken Social Scene songs, Anthems for a 17-year-old Girl. That song does genuinely put me in my feels.
Okay.
It's so weird. You would call it punk rock, John, but it's weirder. It's not quite punk rock, but it's.
Oh, is it like Bjork?
No, I would say it's not like Bjork either.
John, how many times?
Well, then what is it?
It's either punk or Bjork.
It's punk, Bjork, or Hamilton. That's all I know.
Well, you're gonna love Dancing in the Dark. A little bit of both.
That's right. They do sing Room Where It Happens in that one.
Where she gets hung. That's the room where it happens.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Boy.
So Matt, what would you give this for a feels? Is there a song in here that puts you in your feels?
Not really, no. And unfortunately, there are very few songs that make me cry. I'm not
Island in the Sun.
Wait, don't even bring it up. No, I was weirdly thinking about this the other day. The only songs that, like, make me cry are, like, Ben Folds songs. Like, he's the only one that, like, gets it. He somehow unlocked it. And I don't know what it is.
You know what you need to listen to?
That's the perfect evolution for, like, in my 20s, I thought Scott Pilgrim was the best movie ever.
Yeah.
Now
Ben Folds makes me cry. Like, I'll go see him and then just sort of, like, weep openly, like, in the audience, just sort of, like, wipe tears away while he's singing, like, The Luckiest or something.
Zach and Sarah.
Yeah. Jackson Cannery. Oh, my God. He's doing it. But, yeah, not a whole lot of songs make me cry. You were going to say something.
I was going to mention there's this Nina Simone song called Alone Again, or it's like a cover of a love song, but it's all about the death of her father.
Oh,
that one makes me.
I would probably listen to that. Mm-hmm. There's,
I'll send it to you when we're off the air.
Please. There's a Neil Campbell song that it's the last song that he ever wrote, and it's about how he was losing his mind from like dementia. And it's so upsetting because he's like talking about how he's not going to miss his wife. I could lose it right now just thinking about it.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Don't you.
And John, it's quiet uptown.
Oh. Stop.
No.
But there's no song in this movie that gets me in my feels. If anything, the songs get me feeling like I want to have a good time.
Pumped.
Yeah, or like a punk or something.
Like some sort of punk rocker.
So mm-hmm. I'd say zero because my feels have not been accessed.
I'll give it a 1 because I did think there were songs that were sort of like sweet. And then, you know, I'll give it a 2 because you really highly recommended that one song, which I'm going to go and listen to later.
You're going
to
love it. It used to be my, I'm going to give it a 3. That Anthems for a 17-Year-Old, when you went on my MySpace, you would hear that song. Remember how people used to do that?
Yeah.
Inflict songs upon people. Mm-hmm. All right. Next category. Gossip. How gossipy is Scott Pilgrim?
They're spilling tea.
It's pretty gossipy.
Left and right. That's right, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
They're spilling it. All the cups empty. Tea all over the place.
Get a Swiffer. We got tea all over the place.
Yeah, get a Swiffer wet mop. Don't want it
also,
to stay.
Scott goes to the party to get information about Ramona, and everyone's like chiming in. And then the fact that Scott
Is just texting gossip all the time.
I think it's pretty one of
Word travels fast in this world.
That there's nothing else to do. They're in Canada.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? If I was reading the credits correctly, I didn't think Edgar Wright wrote this. I think it was signed XOXO Gossip Girl.
I think you're right. So what would you give this for gossip?
I mean, that's a 5% because of just how much snitching's going on and stuff and all the sort of backstabby sort of chats.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.
4. I'm going to give it a 5. I think it's pretty gossipy. All right, so now we are into one of our second-to-last categories. This is an all-or-nothing category.
Wow.
So 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Scott Pilgrim versus the World have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Wow.
It's
this
not
is
negative.
A big question.
It's not negative, but I wouldn't say it's positive. I mean, he kicks him out. He steals his sister's boyfriend. And the fact that when they're making out, she goes, again, which I thought was very funny.
But also, it's Anna Kendrick. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
That's a good point. But there's also,
she's kind of awful the whole time.
Isn't it sort of like a sort of, like, stereotypical, like, sort of, like, negative trope that, like, gay men are always just hopping in the sheets with whoever?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're sleeping sort of portraying him that way. I don't know.
Yes,
so
but it didn't seem negative. To me, it didn't seem like particularly like negative, but also was.
I agree. It's not negative, but I wouldn't call it positive either.
I don't know.
It was certainly something.
I guess the fact that
I don't know. I think my point is that it was nothing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It was literally stopped at representation.
Well, it was just. It did feel like a straight guy's idea of what gay people were like.
Exactly.
Like it felt like a place.
I'm gonna vote against giving it this bonus. I'm sorry to say,
Matt. What are you gonna say?
Yeah, I don't think it gets the bonus because, to John's point, it was sort of like it wasn't saying anything bad, but it was just sort of like, and I think that's cool. Like that was sort of the tone of it.
And there's gay guys there.
Yeah, and it's fine.
And no one's like punching him.
And he like shares a bed with 3 of them.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then finally, Matt, the very last category, -50%. If this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50%
okay,
of its score.
Okay, thank God. I was worried about what this was going to be. I was like, I can't stand to lose 50%, but it is not Boat Trip, so that's good.
We've done that. We've watched it.
All right.
It's definitely not. All right. So out of a total possible 2,369.27 points, you have, or Scott Pilgrim versus the World has scored 1,385.60, giving a percentage of 58.48, making it the 18th gayest movie ever. Not
wow.
as gay as Midnight Madness, but gayer than Gremlins.
Wow, there you go.
I think that was on the poster.
You can put that on the poster.
Gayer than Gremlins.
Yeah.
I mean, the reviews are in.
Yeah, wow. I guess that's a good barometer for it. I hear that and I agree. I absolutely agree.
I think that's fair, gayer than Gremlin. I think 18 mm-hmm. feels about right, right
yeah,
around 58.
Pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. I'm happy to have contributed a movie to the canon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
True
delight. That was a blast. That was so much fun.
Good. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I produce a bunch of podcasts. You can listen to How Did This Get Played or Culture Kings over there on Earwolf, Query with Cameron Esposito. What else do I do over there? Yo, Is This Racist? Another great show that I work on. And then I have my own show, What's With These Homies Talking About Weezer, where I take a Weezer album. There are 14 of them, and that's how many episodes that you'd be surprised that I have done. And I have a friend who may or may not like Weezer, mostly don't like, and make them listen to the album, and then we talk about it, and I try to convince them that what they listened to was good.
And sounds like a perfect podcast.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, like Scott Aukerman did it, Gabris did it, a bunch of fun people have done it, and there will be a new episode some point when Weezer's newest album is no longer delayed due to COVID-19.
How much more must it take?
I know.
This insatiable virus.
Insatiable,
you know,
hungry.
Everyone has a moment when it became real for them, and that was it for me.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. And
we'll be right back.
We're back. So that was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Love that, Matt.
Matt's great. Matt, he's a goddamn delight. I'm sorry I didn't like the movie more.
Are you? Why are you sorry?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry because I just feel like a bad host when I'm like, you brought in a movie I didn't really like.
I mean,
especially when it's like a movie that obviously he cares about.
We ripped apart the Grinch.
I don't horrible. I'm gonna sleep tonight. It's not that. But, you know, it's always nicer when you're like, this was great. But I just found like, I wish I was just more emotionally engaged by the movie, but I just found Michael Cera's character, Scott Pilgrim, just like, I didn't care about him and I didn't know why anyone else cared about him. And it was that thing there are all these women who were like obsessed with him. Like even like Alison Pill was like, they broke up a long time ago, but clearly she's like, has strong feeling. Like she's angry or she's still hurt or like she's still something.
Yes.
And like all these, it just seemed like this is a, you know, just that sort of fantasy of like the,
everybody want. I mean, if you hate that, you should see 8.5. Ugh. Fellini plays his director. He doesn't play a director, but guy in my film school loved 8.5 because it's about a director who's like torn between trying to get his dream passion project, but then he also has his mistress and his wife, all these problems.
Right, yeah.
It's the same kind of insufferability, but both visually stunning movies, I would say. Because I would say, especially now, how everything is like green screen and like so crazy, like CGI, but made CGI being used to look realistic. This is using CGI to look fake,
to look fantastic,
and I think that's such a better use of it. Like leaning into like the unreal, which is why like people at the time hated Speed Racer, but Speed Racer in a lot of ways was ahead of its time. Like we're just leaning into this technology. Like yeah, you can do anything, so let's do anything and not even try to ground it in reality. So to me, like Edgar Wright is such a fun action director. That, like,
I agree.
It overcomes a lot of like, yeah, I agree with you. I don't care about Scott Pilgrim. He could have gotten shot in the head 30 minutes in and then just have a bunch of fight scenes. Great. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But I think like the movie is like funny and the music's good and it looks great. So I think it's like a popcorn. I don't take it too seriously, but I had a good time watching it. What more can I say?
That's
true. But speaking of a good time.
Speaking of a good time. Great segue. So we've got a little blowback, I understand, from last week's episode. Is that correct, Mark?
Some people were upset that they waited a year for Cruising to get the dreaded negative 50%, and then we didn't do it at the end. And because I guess we...
Right.
I do think we made a mistake in talking about it beforehand. We talked about it beforehand saying, should we give it the negative 50%? And looking back, I do wish we hadn't talked about it beforehand. Like, that's a conversation we should have had in the podcast.
I agree. I think we should have honored it and then afterwards said it. So, but can we do it now? Can we sort of retroactively say...
No, I feel like the ship the movie has sailed.
Well, I know we're not going to re-edit it because that podcast is out already. But I mean, like, if Cruising was penalized 50% of its points, how would it have scored?
Well, it would have gotten a 34.5, and that would have made it, bear with me, the 43rd gayest movie. Not as gay as Submarine, but gayer than Secret of Nim. So really far towards the bottom.
But it's not even in the bottom 10, and that's with half of its score. I mean, Cruising is, beside the fact that it is Cruising, it is a very gay movie.
It is a very gay movie, but I do think it would have been funnier to dock at 50%.
I agree.
So
we messed that up.
You're on shaky.
Botrup, don't get comfortable, Botrick. Choppy waters?
Choppy waters.
But I guess we want to discuss now why we did sort of change that?
Well, I think we thought it was going to be like super homophobic and problematic, but then watching it, like, oh, it's not as like crazy as we thought it was going to be. It's not as like cringy as we thought it was going to be. So at the time, it didn't feel right to do it, but now I've had time to think about it. I'm like, what do we care? Who cares? It would have been funnier. It would have been a great payoff.
A lot funnier.
But you know, you live, you learn. This is the first.
You live, you learn.
It's the first time we had a category that waited a year.
This whole podcast is like Felt itself. It's a process.
And if there's one thing we learned from improv, it's like you commit to the bit, and we didn't commit to the bit.
We didn't do it.
So that's on me. I'll fall on the sword.
You don't. Oh. What a noble person you are. You're a better co-host than I am.
No, no.
Because you decided.
Joan of Arc. And you're John of Snark.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised there wasn't a scat reference in that. Sure.
That's a pretty shitty thing to say, John.
Hey-o. Speaking of shitty things to say.
Well, I hope the controversy has been nipped in the bud, so to speak.
As it were. Speaking of things to say, we got another great review on iTunes from Glittery Kitten. They gave us 5 stars, and they write, one of the most delightfully fun shows to listen to, especially in times like now, when it feels like the world is on fire. Fantastic host, fantastic banter, everything is just so fun. The Byzantine scoring system is perfect. Just an all-around great show. Thank you so much, Glittery Kitten.
That is so nice. We do, like, want to provide an escape as our... I know some podcasts have done, like, 20-minute opening segments... talking about
where they sort of lean into things.
Yeah,
we've discussed it, and it feels partially like we don't have anything new to add, and it feels
we're just trying to listen more to you know, black people. Essentially, we're trying to confront their racist tendencies in our own lives, in our own families, and confront those.
Exactly.
That said, my family's been great. My brother agrees to defund the cops. So shout out to Mike Rennie, made the spreadsheet and wants to defund the cops. See
there
why we
go.
Don't get serious. It turns into but just know if you
we can't
are,
say there.
We are with you, I guess I would. Is that terrible to say? No. Two Old Queens believes Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely. If you want, you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of the movies, what you think of the new scoring system. We're probably getting close to reevaluating the wheel and some of those categories.
Let
us know your thoughts on that. Just what you think about anything. We'd love to hear from you guys.
We love emails. But you could also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O, Old Queens. You can follow me on Letterboxd, that app where I maintain the current rankings of the list, and you can see the guest on that movie and what category they added. So that's a fun thing.
It's a fun little, it's part of the transmedia, meaning maybe that transitions different
things.
Mediums.
Which is what we learned from, yeah.
And then I guess we do know we were wrong. We were supposed to do live, but
wrong.
That
we're sorry
fell
about
through.
That.
What can you do?
If you've been listening this whole time going, when are they going to talk about life?
Never.
Not this podcast.
Not this podcast. Not this podcast. But we do know, we're pretty sure. It's going to be cheerleading classic.
Bring it on.
Another Universal movie.
Yeah.
But so until next time, it'll be a great.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodbye. Never watch a film, watch a phone, if you don't tell what's a phone. That's anthems for a 16-year-old girl, John.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.